David, I bought you this nice little ring light, and I see you're still not using it, and I find that very offensive.
It's
Did
sitting
you buy
right
it?
there,
You have
and
pins.
if you know anything about me, you know that once there is a task that I need to do, it takes at least 6 months for that task to get accomplished.
It doesn't need
Did
to
you
be
gift
right
it
there, it needs to be right
for
here.
him, or did you get it for him, or did you gift it to him because you weren't using it?
So I got a new ring light that better fit my needs and then gave him my old one.
Been there.
I've been playing with the bracket thing that it comes with for the last like couple of months or weeks.
You can get that with a lot of recording equipment, just so we're clear. If you
Yeah,
need any
well,
more of that.
it's a
I'm just
little.
saying if you ever need another one for whatever reason.
No, just for whatever reason. You mean that I fidget with it too much and I break it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, like if you use that for the light and you're like, "Damn, I miss my little fidget toy."
Nah, I mean, the fidget toy has just replaced my knife, so, and said, you know, it is what it is.
Healthy.
Hello and welcome to the Completely Unprepared Podcast. My name is David.
I'm Kira.
And I'm Kyler Oreo McFlurry.
Oreo McFlurry.
Almost exactly 11 months, right? Oh, my light just came on.
It was his ACL that he tore last year, right?
Oh.
I seem to recall that being what has been keeping him out this whole time.
I
Sounds right.
only know because I spend pretty much all day Friday, on my couch with period cramps watching ESPN. So I heard the same exact stories over and over again.
Yep.
It does happen a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we can get right into it. How did Kyler look today? Did anybody watch that game? I.
I didn't watch the game. I watched the highlights and he looked pretty good.
Yeah. Do
He
you think
won.
he's worth picking up when I'm trying to figure out what the fuck to do with Trevor Lawrence?
Are you talking about in one of the leagues that I'm in, or are you talking about in
Differently.
Oh, then yeah. I know that's my target in our paired fantasy football league.
Gotcha.
Where I'm currently hurting because I was like having problems. Take a risk. I'm gonna see how Will Levis does, and it turns out that no matter how much mayonnaise you put in your coffee, it still doesn't make you a good quarterback. So.
He tried so hard to make that such a thing for so long, and now you can tell even the commentators during the games are just like, yep, this is that quarterback that every single game he underperforms, so we have nothing to talk about other than how he put mayonnaise in his coffee during the draft season.
Well, I think he does that. He's sponsored by helmets. He does that
Yeah,
like on the regular.
he has like an actual mayonnaise sponsorship, which is probably the whitest thing that you could have.
Yeah, no.
Very.
Both like spiritually and also just physically.
The only thing whiter would be if he was from BYU.
True. But he went to, where is he from? Kentucky. You know what I mean?
Kentucky.
Like, that's pretty goddamn white.
Yeah. Feel like
Like,
BYU's whiter.
yeah, no, it's definitely, well, yeah.
I could be wrong. I could totally be wrong. I'm basing this entirely off of feel.
BYU is also like, hey, this guy's name is Tafunga. What school do you think he's from? BYU. You're right.
Yeah.
I was gonna say BYU, it's really one of the least diverse programs because you got one of two options and chances are you're right.
I
Yeah.
mean, Jay would probably know better than us, but apparently there's a heavy Mormon influence in Hawaii.
That's very true. The BYU Lai'e exists as
Chill.
well. Yeah, no. There's a very heavy influence in of Mormons in all of the Pacific Islands because after all of the other religions dominated recruiting everywhere else, they're like, I don't know, let's go to these fucking islands out here and see what happens.
Like these are the
And
only ones
so
that
they,
are left.
yeah, so they, I mean, that's pretty much what happened. So they went to the Samoa, they went to Tonga, like, yeah.
How did they explain the part of their book that used to say that, like, being brown was a sin that you could rid yourself of?
I mean, like, they showed up with, like, modern technology to very islandy people. Yeah. They could have said anything and they'd be like, oh, that makes sense.
I guess it wouldn't be the first time people didn't actually read the book.
Yeah. They're like, hey, if you follow our religion that you don't know anything about, we won't kill you. And they're like, okay, I guess that makes sense.
This is minimal effort from us for a decently favorable outcome, sure.
Yeah. We were just hanging out here, enjoying not dying, and you showed up with guns. So, I guess you're right.
Well, speaking of BYU, Chris Collinsworth wants Zach Wilson to be good so badly. He wants him to be good so badly.
This is the thing I've always hated about Chris Collinsworth. Like, people call him a bootlicker or whatever and things like that, and I don't think that that's necessarily true. I think Chris Collinsworth sets a idea in his head. Like, he's got a narrative as soon as anything happens. And then he just refuses to listen to like, move on, try anything new. He's just like, all right, Zach Wilson, I saw him in college and he was good. Therefore, he will be good at some point. And I don't have to ever think again. I never have to reevaluate my position. And you know what? Like, it might be better than people that change their fucking opinions with the week. I don't know. But we definitely need to find a middle ground. Like, we can't keep going like, all right, all or nothing. First opinion is correct.
I just like that Zach Wilson, granted, his escaping from Max Crosby toward the end of that game was a good escape, and then hucks it down the field, and Collinsworth is like, say what you want about the rest of the game, but he gave them a chance right there. I'm like, yeah, like 10 minutes after he threw a bad pick.
Yeah. I agree with the idea. I don't necessarily disagree with what he's trying to say. I just think he says that in a bad way. Yeah. Right? Like, the point is, yeah, he's had a bad game.
Yeah.
But that was about as good of a play as you could ask for.
Sure.
And that's a fair thing to say. But if you're just, like, jerking him off the entire time, which Collinsworth is heir to.
Right.
And then you're just like, well, say what you want. It's like, yeah, but they're losing because of him. It's 60 minutes a game.
It was the kiss you could give in front of your mother after he spent the whole day giving him a rim job. Yeah. That works. Think about it for a minute. That works.
Precisely.
Yeah.
We'll go with it.
So, I think the big storyline of today that they will beat down your throat for the next week, which means that by the time you hear this podcast, you're going to be sick of hearing this, is that, what is it, 4 or 5 games today end with walk-off kicks?
Walk-off
field goal?
The entirety of the halftime show was just, and then here was a kick to win it, and then here was a kick to win it, and then here was a kick to win it.
Mm-hmm. Which is gorgeous. I love it. I love that, and I mean, it kind of speaks to the parody of the NFL right now, that even, like, top teams are kind of going into these very close games, and it kind of turns into a coin flip sometimes.
Hey, Kira, Denver didn't lose today.
Oh, wait. Yeah, because we play tomorrow. Yeah. I was like, wait, really? Oh, wait, that's right.
There's still time.
Another part of the programming was that it's the Monday night game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Jay. I think the unfortunate part about that is that those become the highlights, and those become kind of the, you know, like the,
oh yeah,
it, like the difference,
it's
between
storyline written by results, not by how things actually were.
Right.
Right.
The,
like,
you get oh, the Lions won the game on a 3-point, you know, kick at the end of it, instead of, hey, the Lions absolutely could not start the Chargers, but the Chargers also could not stop the Lions, and it was just pretty much who had the ball last.
Yeah. Yeah, no. It's kind of how narratives get written. It's just whatever we decide based on the final result.
Yeah.
Because like it's a story of resilience and how strong these teams are about coming back if they win, if they win, and then if they miss that field goal, it's like, oh, it's they were a better team, but they just couldn't get it done today, tragically. And it just depends on what you want the story to be, is really what it is. You pick the evidence to match your story.
Just like, I mean, that's literally the entire Michigan fan base for at least the past 6 years, let alone the past 2 weeks.
I will say, I've spent the entire season sitting here going, I will reserve judgment on Michigan until they actually play literally anybody. And this week they played literally anybody, and it was impressive. It wasn't that they managed a victory. They looked the better team against Penn State, who is a legitimate team. Like, that's an actual good-looking team. So I was
Yeah.
impressed. On the buy, don't buy, sell, I'm a buyer on Michigan for this season.
It's so fast. I mean, just this whole entire thing is so fucking fascinating to me that like it's all coalesced up to yesterday and like everything was like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And like I think I was telling you guys this, like, frankly, if frickin' Colorado had actually been doing well and was like a contender, and if like all the other things that they were hyping up at the beginning of the season were like actually true still, like none of this would have happened. Like there wouldn't be any fucking attention on it. But like, and also, Michigan, like Jim, how fucking stupid do you have to be? Like it's such a basic thing. You don't have to get caught doing this stupid shit.
I will
So,
be
yeah.
completely honest. When all of that happened, like all the, like, oh, he's paying his friends to go film signs of other teams. I was actually just shocked to find out that most schools don't send people to film signs. Why would you
I know.
not? Like, that is so ridiculous. Do you
I
know
didn't
why
even
this
know it
isn't a
was a, like
problem?
against the rules.
Oh, yeah. Do you know why this is not a problem in the NFL? Because in the NFL, you just have headsets on. Like, the quarterback just literally talks directly to the coach. And, like, I get college is rooted in a little bit more tradition because college football was before the NFL. The NFL will try to
Still
do
so.
more. But, like, I don't think that that's a good tradition.
No, and that's the thing too, is it's like you're still like everything about this is just stupid. Like it's just none of it makes sense. But the stupidest thing is that like Michigan just kept like like it's not like it's hard to get away with figuring out another team's signs. Like if you're smart and you can figure it out, like you have it during the first quarter, and then they have to change in game. And if anything, that's tougher. But like the fact that you have like it's so easy, and silly makes it so easy to just do it and not get caught
How
doing
did
it.
he?
But then it's, you pay this dude. This dude is a fucking lunatic who was like, I don't know if you've read any of this stuff that's come out. Like Richard Johnson has from SI has done a great job of covering all of this, but like this dude wrote like a 300-page document on how to improve Michigan football titled the Michigan Manifesto. And he like basically was a former military guy who somehow through his connections got a job with Michigan football as a like part-time like scout and basically like paid his
That's
own way to figure this shit out. Like that's in that's that shit.
only the second craziest manifesto written by a Michigan student. Shout out Ted Kaczynski.
Hey, we claim him.
I think
I thought you were
I'm
gonna say Tom Brady's.
okay.
Tom Brady's the FMR.
You guys didn't just you shouldn't just claim him. You fucked him up. Because if I'm not
Yay!
mistaken, you guys are the school that he went to where they ran an experiment where he went
They
in
said.
and talked about his cool ideas, and the experiment was just to see what happens if you berate somebody while they tell you their cool ideas.
Ann Arbor. I think you're right on that. I can't remember the specifics, but it was like something where like he went there and he was so fucking like outraged at the way like
Yeah.
his professor treated him too. Like, 'cause that was a huge part of it, right? Was like he was a student and he was like
I know
he
that
like set
experiment
his
happened at one of the schools he went to. I don't remember if it was at Michigan or if it was, I think he went to Harvard as well. But yeah, they like had a thing where
Either
they brought in subjects to be like a think tank and express their cool manifesto-y ideas, and the experiment was to see how they reacted when you just treat them like fucking morons for saying these things.
I mean, considering
I
their
mean,
track
honestly.
record, it could have been on experiments, it could have been Stanford.
True.
Yeah, I mean, it is very Stanford pyramid or Stanford prison experiment. And you know, only the second biggest psychopath that's ever blessed Michigan, thanks to Jim Harbaugh. So.
It's he's fucking insane. We all
And
know it. That's him.
Stanford. He
Yeah.
did both.
It was great. Yeah, and now they're all like he's got to be out after all this stuff. Well, and then we came out and beat Penn State and nobody's talking about it. I mean, people are like talking about it, like that are it's their job too, but like nobody is paying attention. They'll pay attention again when it's like the Ohio State game
Yeah,
the
I
weekend
mean,
after.
that's the bright side for you guys, right? Is that no matter what happens, it all comes to head at the Ohio State game, right? Like,
Yep.
if you want to prove whatever you've got that.
This is
You
probably
went, you beat Ohio State, you're in the playoffs. It's pretty much that goddamn simple.
a
I
good
don't.
time for me to ask a question that I've had, unless you're not done.
That's about it.
No, I'm good.
We had said a couple times that basically Oregon wins out, they'll be able to go to the playoff, right? Who of the top four loses out in that case then?
Ohio State or Michigan?
Mm-hmm.
Because Ohio
We
State is
definitely
one, Michigan is three, so one of them has to drop out of the top four.
whichever Big Ten team loses in that, it wouldn't be the champ game because they're both in their same whatever quote unquote
Division.
division.
I
RCBs.
mean, is it possible that Oregon beats Washington and they give Oregon five and they still just roll with Michigan and Ohio State anyways?
If
Yeah,
Oregon loses to Oregon State, there's a small chance that that happens. But Oregon State has also done a pretty good job of keeping themselves relevant, because they're what, ranked 12. You know,
something like
it's
that.
not a bad, it's not a bad, it's a pretty good Oregon State. I think it's the best they've had since like near 2000. So odds are pretty low. But if we lost to Oregon State, there's a lot more questions, especially because you'd end up with a one loss Ohio State. Michigan team. So I would think we would be, I think we'd beat a one loss Michigan just because Michigan has played fucking nobody overall, but even then it's kind of a 50-50.
True. I mean, Michigan jumped over Ohio State in this week's CFP, which is saying, you know, obviously they bought into it.
Yeah.
I guess the one that would also really matter is like how the ACC shakes out, which, I mean, Florida State looks pretty decently solid there. I mean, they're undefeated.
They're solid there because the ACC sucks. That's it.
So it's also like, I mean, it's like, okay, you have that, but
It's just
like they're
Louisville.
not gonna lose. Like they would be they could still be undefeated and they would be five over, I think, 11-1 Oregon.
Oh
Well,
yeah.
12-1 could game too.
Well, do they have Clemson coming up? Well, no.
They played Clemson earlier in the season and
Oh yeah.
they
They eked him
won
out.
pretty narrowly, yeah.
31-24. Yeah, so
Yeah,
they've got
so
North Alabama and Florida left, which are
yeah,
not
Florida's
impressive.
a weird thing. Yeah, so like that would be, I think, the one that gets out before Ohio State or Michigan do, regardless of which one of those teams may lose after Thanksgiving weekend. I mean,
Well,
unless it's like
if Florida
a
State wins
total
out.
blowout.
Yeah. If Florida State wins out and Oregon wins out, then I don't see any way that the loser of the Ohio State Michigan game stays in. Just because
Well, because I mean, because it's Florida's, like Florida State and the ACC is weaker, they would argue that like if so, so it's like if Michigan wins, like wins in that game, it kind of depends on like the actual outcome of it too, not just the actual victory. Like if Michigan or Ohio State win decisively, then like it would probably be an undefeated, whichever team wins decisively, and then Florida State, and then Oregon or
Florida State also
Washington.
did have a good win against LSU, who was ranked 15 at the time and still shows that they're a pretty decent team, even if they're not a contender.
Well, I think too, it's like there still is this talk around like you have Texas, you have Bama, still kind of floating around like what happens if they win out, like would they be favored just because,
Because Saban.
yeah,
yeah, exactly.
I just feel like Alabama has not proven to me that they are they're more valuable than a Pac-12 champion at this point, either Washington or Oregon. Assuming that they went out and assuming that these all went out, whatever's left. I'm gonna for
Well,
the sake of what's that?
Bama would have to beat Georgia
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fair. Then
see this.
they'd probably take
That
Georgia. Yeah. So I think that'll solve itself. That's kind of how I feel
Yeah.
about like Georgia, Bama, and Ohio State, Michigan. I think that'll solve itself. And I think because the problem too is that CFP is not necessarily it's better than like the AAP, which is exclusive riders, but like the committee itself is looking for the best storylines at the same time. And I don't think that they're going to be like multiple Big Ten teams is going to be good for, because I think
Yeah.
they're eyeing the fact that the Pac-12 is completely folding, obviously.
True.
And I think they're looking at it and saying, wow, wouldn't it be cool if one of the Pac-12 teams managed to finish it? Which is why I think that it wasn't a huge loss for Oregon when they lost to Washington, right? They stayed pretty
Don't
contentious. I
know
think we
what
dropped
this
from like
one.
8 to 10 or some shit. Like, it was not a big drop,
Right.
which is shocking because usually it is.
Yeah, well, but
Speaking of,
usually when you lose that game, usually it's a more lopsided loss too.
well, I mean, like we've had close games against Stanford many a times, and it's just like, oh, you're fucking gone,
yeah,
and vice
I mean
versa,
that's kind of
the same
where
for
it's gonna
Stanford.
be. Yeah, it's gonna come down to kind of like those top matchups than like Florida State brings. I mean, they could do Georgia Bama again. They've shown that to be favored, even
Yeah,
though
but it was a better
last year
Bama team.
was so boring. Speaking of drops, Jimbo Fisher got fired by A&M today,
Oh,
so
did he?
back in that carousel. Yeah,
I heard it rumored. I didn't know it actually happened.
Jimbo.
Jimbo.
I hope so.
Himbo
Today,
Flisher.
I learned that Texas A&M's AD's name is Ross Bjork.
Oh. All right.
So the offense is not working, and we're gonna have to change things up a bit.
It turns out that us going to the SEC was not a good play.
Are they there
Wow.
already?
Next
Texas
year.
A&M. That's next year that they go, right? Yeah.
Texas A&M?
A&M? Am I crazy? I thought because it's A&M. Maybe they went before. They went
No,
before Oklahoma and.
Texas A&M has been there for a couple years.
Yeah. They went before Texas and Oklahoma are joining them. That's what it
Yeah,
was.
Oklahoma and Texas are going, but Texas
Yep.
A&M and Missouri left at the same time.
Yep. No, I'm just in meshing between
I
my memories.
didn't even know either, so
I was very sure that that was the case, but you guys asked it, and I was like, "Oh, am I fucking wrong?" No, it became a thing because they're like, "Okay, you guys don't have a rival, so now I guess your rivalry game is LSU." And I
honestly,
was like,
it's
"What
a
the fuck?"
win. It's a win for making you think you were wrong about a college football thing. So I'll take
Fair enough.
it.
I am less up to date with college football than I've ever been, because it's the fucking joke now. And congratulations to UCLA and USC for completely removing the guise of any interest in it for me. Not that I've ever thought that it wasn't for money or anything like that, but now it's to the point where I'm just like, I don't care.
At least it wasn't only for money.
Yeah, because like before it was like the best in the West are going to take on the best in the North in the Rose Bowl, and you're like, oh, that's
Great.
interesting.
Yep.
And realistically, you're looking at the best team in the West that recruited all from California, Texas, and Florida is going to take on the best in the North who recruited from California, Texas, and Florida. But at least they were like representing an area. And so I can kind of get behind it, right? Because even though Washington is our rival, I would still kind of be like, when they went to the Rose Bowl, I'd be like, it's good for the Pac-12. It's good for the West. It's good for the West Coast if they win this. All right. So there's like an extra rallying effect behind it. But now it's like, I don't give a fuck who goes and plays what bowl. Like,
Don't
what is
care.
even the Rose Bowl? Who's better at Washington State and Oregon State now?
Yeah, it's going to be changing. I mean, they're really changing. This is going to be our last year doing a lot of like the pre-week format stuff. So
Yeah, it doesn't make
it's
any sense anymore. It doesn't matter. It's
yeah.
just it's and now it's just a shittier version of the NFL.
Yep. Yep. If they wanted to move themselves closer and closer to making this a, and I know it already is, but a legitimately minor league sport, that's what they've done.
Yeah, well, like, and two, you want to
Kind
say that it's like for the student athlete, and then you're going to
None of these
make
kids care
these.
about school. Josh Dobbs is the only kid who cares
Well,
about school.
even if they did, you're going to make these kids on a Friday night fly from Los Angeles
Yeah.
to goddamn Pennsylvania and back, and then you're like, we care about their education. Really?
It's
Because
wild.
every year for a conference game, you're going to make them fly across the country. No fucking way. Have
Yeah,
you been
it.
to college?
Yeah, I didn't
It's
even want to get
ridiculous.
out of bed.
Yeah. And they're like, all right, let's wake up at 3 in the morning so we can go to New Jersey to play our conference game against Rutgers.
Honestly, I could just leave at, let's go to New Jersey, and you obviously know you don't care about the student athletes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just lost all meaning. And I wish that it would lose some of its stature, but it won't. And the other one that I really hope, and because if you have checked, which I tend to do on a regular basis, the Pac-12 has not announced that it's going to fold, and it has
No.
not announced adding new teams, but it has announced their home and away plans for the future, which means, as far as I can tell, they are planning to move forward for the 2024 season and beyond with only two teams, which is extremely exciting. I hope that that means that for 8 games, Oregon State and Washington State are just going to travel back and forth week to week between Spokane and Corvallis and play each other. Yeah,
That could coin the term "fake it till you make it" as a business model is the Pac-12,
Oh, yeah.
Pac-2,
So
Pac.
I was so
The two pack.
they may not have announced that they're folding, but I do believe, and I could be misremembering this, but I do believe that they are currently like in legal proceedings amongst themselves, where like the schools that are leaving are like, you can't let them decide what to do with all the money, and the schools that are there are like, we're trying to protect our future.
Well, it's the in particular, it's the two schools that are left that are the most screwed over, not just because of the schools that are left, but so the way that like bowl season works, right? And the way the season works in general is that there's a certain amount of proceedings that all the games re generate. And then they will pool all that together and they will distribute them amongst all the schools. So if you're a shittier program that doesn't generate a lot of interest, it actually works out really well for you to be in a decent conference because you will gain the money that is acquired by these big teams, right? So if you're Vanderbilt, who doesn't get a lot of attention, but you're in the same conference as Alabama, you're going to get a even distribution of what Alabama makes, and that's great. So, Oregon is going to generate a lot of money for Oregon State and Washington State. Washington now is doing the same thing. UCLA, USC, all these guys are revenue generators. And the two teams that are left are the ones that absolutely fucking need that money because they fucking suck. Because, even their alumni don't fucking care.
Right. Well, they don't care, or they don't have the means to care like the founder of Nike cares.
Well, and beyond that, you're not gonna fly to fucking, you're not gonna go to Corvallis for a game if you live literally anywhere. Maybe if you're in Portland. You're definitely not gonna go to fucking, not
Pullman.
Spokane, Pullman, thank you.
Yeah.
You're not gonna go to Pullman if you, because
I
9 out
went
of 10 of
to
the
Pullman.
graduates.
I went to Pullman. It's what convinced me not to go to Washington State.
Exactly.
I literally was there. I was
Not.
like, I'm going to develop a drinking habit, and it happened anyways, but
9 out of 10 of their graduates are going to move to Seattle, and if you live in Seattle, there is zero chance that you're going to drive all the way across the strait, all the way across the state, basically to fucking Idaho, to go watch your team suck ass against Colorado next week.
I think the distance between Pullman and Idaho is like the distance between Kira and Oakland.
Because because they basically live in Moscow, which is where University of Idaho is, by the way. Fun fact. Which is why, was it earlier this year, last year, there was those murders in Moscow, but it was from a Washington State student.
So,
Pretty gross.
jumping back to your point a second ago, all right. 2024 Oregon football schedule. August 24th at
At
Hawaii.
Hawaii.
At Hawaii. They start at Hawaii. They then at home have three games in a row, which is Idaho, Texas Tech, Boise State. Then they are at UCLA, home to USC. Nope, that's Michigan State. Can somebody tell Michigan State and USC to get more like distinct logos?
USC.
Which one is that?
Oh well, also it's yeah no
That's
also
Michigan
it's
State.
all the same color. That's Michigan State. But yes, I see what you're saying.
So then they're home to
Michigan.
Ohio State. Then they fly all the fucking way to fucking Indiana to play Purdue. They come back home and play whoever the fuck I is. Is that Illinois?
That's Illinois. Yeah.
There we go.
The Fighting Eye.
Then they go all the way fucking back and they play Michigan. They come all the way back home, they play Maryland. They go all the way fucking back, they play Wisconsin. They come all the way fucking back home, and they play Washington. You are flying from Oregon to Indiana. To Oregon, to Michigan, to Oregon, to Wisconsin, to Washington. Back-to-back weeks. There's no break in there. It's the 12th, 19th, 26th, 2nd, 9th, 16th. Okay, there's one break in there. After Wisconsin, your very last game, you have like 14 days before you play Washington. That's wild.
Do you know what the number one major is for every student athlete?
Whatever the most recently available tutors majors in.
Eligibility.
Same idea.
They all major in eligibility because this is fucking dog shit.
That's why a few years ago when we were watching it was like a bowl game and it was like just like not well-known teams. I think one of them might be like Appalachian State or something like that, right? And this was, I say a few years, this is like,
The
what?
program that has one win in their entire history, and they make sure to let everyone know.
this was maybe 5 to 7 years ago, something like that. I was watching with my dad and they're commenting on one of the guys who like only got in for that game. Like, oh, this guy really hasn't played much, but he's a, we talked to the kid. He's a double major, biochemistry and computer science, and I was like, "Well, there's a guy who doesn't play very much." Very clearly, you didn't have time to get on the field.
Well, and then the other like half of it that we haven't even touched on is the fact that like the transfer portal makes it so you're not even really playing kids from your school. You're playing the best kids that started at another school. Like
Yeah.
Bo Nix and Michael Penix are not Oregon and Washington players. That is where does Penix from? Like Idaho State and
No, Penix was in
Auburn.
Indiana, I think.
Okay, Indiana.
Yeah.
Same fucking shit.
Yep. Yeah,
They
Indiana,
did
Idaho
really
might as well be
well.
the same place.
They auditioned at shit at like these not shittier schools because Auburn was is fine, but I obviously Idaho is a fucking shitty school. But they auditioned at other schools and then they transferred and they've played the formative years of their college career at these other schools. Michael Penix is 23. Bro, you need to be chasing a goddamn master's degree if you're a student athlete at 23.
Well, he might be. Some of them do. So that actually does happen.
It is not the normal case.
I know. But I have heard it before where you have somebody who's a fifth year, sixth year eligibility or something, and they actually legitimately are getting their master's degree. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, we're in a particularly bad spot right now,
Because of COVID.
because of COVID year.
Yep.
But like, what was the Georgia quarterback? Stetson Bennett.
Yeah.
I think in his final season, he was literally older than like 13 of 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, that's absurd.
Stetson Bennett played his first year at Georgia with Sony Michel. During his time at Georgia, like during Stetson Bennett's time at Georgia, Sony Michel had a 5-year career, won two Super Bowls with two different teams, and retired from the NFL, all while Stetson Bennett was in college. That's fucking insane.
Transfer portal.
Transfer portal, eligibility rules, all this nonsense, like that just takes away from college ever being like an amateur sport for students or anything like that.
Yeah.
And it's just call a spade, you know? It's a pro league at this point with NILs now. Like, I've long said that college students should be paid, but I've also said there should be a hard cap that all the schools have, much like, any program or any professional league where you can say, you know what? I can pay all of your players exactly $10,000 as a stipend or something along those lines. But now with NILs, they're like, oh yeah, this booster wants to sponsor the entire offensive line. Star in a commercial locally about cars and we'll pay you $2 million each.
I've got a better
Like, what
idea.
the fuck?
I've got a better idea. Your players can be paid whatever the state salary is for a first year school teacher. And so if you want to raise the salary for your players, you have to also raise the state salary for your school teachers. Genius.
Alabama rises from 50th to first in education.
You're just are describing my wet dreams. So
I figured it
Alabama just became Silicon Holler.
If we'd have known.
Suddenly
Oh.
Nebraska is like leading the nation in education, but they still can't figure out how to put a good football team together. Why isn't this working?
But somehow all of our student athletes are getting actually really great paying jobs that don't kill them all of a sudden within 3 years after college. We don't understand.
Well, we don't care about them
Well,
after college.
I know they don't.
We don't even care about them when they get injured in college.
No. I mean, unless they can give us a story, unless we can have them go in the third round, looking at you, Marshawn Lattimore. Nope, not Marshawn. Marshawn The
I don't know, man.
running back from South Carolina.
I want to say Marshawn Lattimore.
Marcus Lattimore.
Marcus Lattimore. Marshawn Lattimore is the cornerback with the
Yeah.
Saints.
I'm terrible with names, so. Yes. I'll also just point you, if you ever need to know anything about how the college athletic system works, I'll point you to Kevin Ware, the Louisville basketball player who in, what is it, 2013, 2014, in the middle of the tournament, destroyed his fucking leg and became an inspirational, like, rally around that everybody was so in favor of, because look at this beautiful story of this team that rallied around this injury and how inspiring it is. You know what happened to Kevin Ware after Louisville won the fucking tournament? They cut him. They got rid of his medical help. They cut his scholarship. And they said, thanks for everything. See you later. You can't play for us anymore.
Yeah,
they don't give a fuck about these kids.
At least the fucking Bears kept around Johnny Knox until it was literally like, we've done all we can do for him.
Yeah.
Not that I want to give the Bears props for anything.
Well, at least when you play for the Bears, you're getting paid enough that it doesn't necessarily matter.
Yeah, that's
true. You can afford your medical bills even if you're on the practice squad, right?
Like, that too.
You're getting paid pretty goddamn well.
Yep.
In college, not a goddamn chance.
Yep. No, that's a good point.
They said, you didn't get paid. You helped us win a championship. We really appreciate everything. See you fucking later, kid. Hope you have other dreams.
I remember even like down to the Olympics, there was somebody, I can't remember who the interview was, but they were talking about that they won bronze or silver or something like that in their event, and literally they were paid so poorly that they had to pay for their medal themselves because they were a college student, and so they couldn't accept anything free from the event or something like that.
Of course.
Sounds about right.
Meanwhile, the NCAA rakes in millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars every year.
But it'll never change because everybody just wants to watch grown adults, well, and not grown adults, run into each other for however long.
El capitalismo.
That's the easy answer. But yeah. No one wants to do that.
See, this is why, hold on, bear with me here. This is why soccer is better. Because as soon as you are viable as a professional athlete, and you can be 14, they don't give a fuck, you can get a pro contract. You can go to an academy. They'll give you a full-on wage for what you're doing.
I wouldn't argue that. The other one is baseball, right? Same idea.
Yep.
Yeah.
And college baseball is not good because nobody cares about going to college baseball. So that's the real reason.
See, college soccer. Yeah. If you're good enough to play college soccer, you're probably already in Germany playing anyways. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some exceptions. We do have some standouts like Jordan Morris, who went to Stanford and played soccer at Stanford and is literally a U.S. men's national team player and a Sounder and all that shit. But you know what Jordan Morris has that a lot of those other people don't have? A father who worked for Stanford at the time.
That'll do it.
Nepotism? No.
Not even, I wouldn't even call it nepotism. I would call it a safety net. He's legitimately a fabulous player. It makes total sense. He left Stanford early to go pro. Like, it made sense for him, but the player who is Jordan Morris without that kind of a family background doesn't go to Stanford. That guy just goes and plays in Germany or goes and plays in, I don't know, fucking France or something, right? I say Germany because they're very quick to pick up young players and then try to sell them abroad afterwards. It's part of how they fund their team, their lower league teams.
Our business plan.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's something very nice about being able to get paid for what you can actually fucking do.
Yeah.
Rather than the system that just preys on fucking children and they're like, well, once you're good enough and you're eligible, you can go and be a pro. We're going to harvest your money for years and years until then, but, you know, maybe you'll be good enough to be a good player someday. And they're like, bro, I got fucking bills now.
If everybody...
That's why I still love the U Miami back in the 90s. Like, people want to harsh on them because, oh, Uncle Lou is paying the players. And it's like, Yeah, because Uncle Lou looked at everybody and was like, "Oh fuck, you guys need to pay your fucking bills. You got families and shit.
Yeah.
You're football players. You're not students."
Yep.
And I'm fine with a student athlete, like, if they are actually just for students, but the idea of the student athlete has been gone for at least 40 years, if not far more, right? Like,
It died somewhere between Prefontaine and Bosworth. Somewhere in that range.
by the 80s, especially like with the Showtime Lakers, kind of, because I still say the epoch for modern sports is the Showtime Lakers, when they really realized, oh my God, we can market this product to the American people, where sports went from like something that you can kind of watch and like, oh look, there's really good players. Because like if you listen to like stories of the 70s, right, like the Lakers literally was like the GM went out and got his car fixed, and he looked at the size of the feet of the mechanic that was under his car and said, "Oh, look, this is a big dude. Hey, do you want to come play basketball for me?" Like, that's a real fucking story. And then that guy became a Los Angeles Laker. You can't do that shit now. Nowadays, it's like, "Oh, which academy did you attend when you were in the fifth grade? Oh, you weren't dedicated to the sport from fifth grade? Well, you're probably not very good then." It's gone. It's absolutely gone. It's a completely different thing, and we're still treating it like it's a goddamn same thing.
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing.
Well, it's one of the things that I'm kind of like toying with is like the idea that I have of trying to so like right now I coach rec and I'm like thinking I would like to get into something more competitive, but I know that if I go to a club team specifically, like high school there's some leeway, but if I go to a club team specifically, I am going to be dealing with parents who are thinking this way. And I do not want to deal with parents.
No.
Like, I'm
Parents are
sorry,
worse.
your kid maybe can go play for a D2 school. Like, be happy about that and then shut the fuck up. Like, if they're going to be good enough to go on and on and on, you don't need me. Just take them somewhere else.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
don't know.
It's very prevalent in tennis as well.
Soccer is ridiculous. So okay, sports news. The new director of youth development for West Side Metros here in Portland, which is it's actually in Beaverton. It's literally all of the parents who are Nike folks, right? That's the area, right? Literally
Beaverland.
where like the fields that they play on are walking distance from Nike headquarters, right? And they're really nice facilities.
I've seen those fields. Those are some nice fields.
Yeah, we went there.
Yeah.
So that's where
Anyway.
this club plays. Okay, so high school or I guess it starts like in elementary school or whatever. But basically, it's like the same level. It's supposed to be the same level that I played in when I was younger, right? Because that was like the club team that was around for. Okay, their director of youth development that they just hired moving forward is a former Portland Timbers player.
Yep.
And not just some scrub, like a guy who was like, oh fuck, really? Like Viafania, like it was like that guy was like a mainstay of this team.
Yeah. Trust me, so I live in the east side of Seattle, Washington,
Yeah.
which is insane. And so you may or may not have heard of the Bellevue High School football scandal.
Yes.
If you're interested, you can look it up. If you haven't heard about it, you can look it up. But during the time, with something that they don't mention, and like even after the time of that scandal, their defensive backs coach, not even their defensive coordinator or anything like that, was Jordan Babineau, literally from the Seattle Seahawks. There's like, yeah, our defensive backs coach, which I was like, I didn't even know that a high school has a DB coach. I would have been like, they've got maybe a head coach and then like an OC and a DC, and maybe if they're really lucky, they've got like some like assistants or some shit. But they had a DB coach And it was Jordan goddamn Babineau.
Yep.
And then you're like, and by the way, that is the same program that Buda Baker, perennial fucking Pro Bowler, is from.
Yeah. Yep.
Perennial? Is every year perennial?
I mean, I knew what you meant.
I guess it's annual, huh? Continual.
Continual, like on a regular basis, like
If someone is
expect.
every year in the Pro Bowl, would they be a annual, perennial? I don't know what perennial means.
So perennial is like if you think like seasonal. So it could be annual, it could be biannual, it could be weekly, like it's just a perennial ongoing
Okay.
So
thing.
if you were a guy who,
So
say, you had a 9-year career and you went to the Pro Bowl 6 times, we could reasonably say you're a perennial Pro
a
Bowler.
perennial Pro Bowler, essentially, yes.
Right.
But it's not
Maybe
like
one of those years you got
ever.
hurt, maybe another year was your rookie year,
Or
but then blah, blah, blah.
it's more of a
I would
generic
say,
term than the other ones that are
yeah.
very specific.
Yeah.
Interesting.
More of a regular Pro Bowler
Yeah, which is what I
versus
meant.
perennials, mostly like they have like, plants and nature and shit.
Oh yeah, perennials.
Yeah, that's what I always think of.
They bloom consistently during a certain
Yeah.
portion or portion of the year. Yep.
Yeah, really inconvenient times for some of them.
So fun fact, speaking of Buda Baker, when Buda Baker was in high school here, it was very well known that he was very good, and as such, every time they would have a game, Buda Baker's mom would show up to a game wearing a shirt that said Buda Baker's mom. And so when he got to college, my family kept that, especially my uncle, kept going, "Hey, look, it's Buda Baker's mom's kid." And it still cracks me up to this day. So every time I see Buda Baker, I'm like, "Hey, look, it's Buda Baker's mom's kid."
That's good. That's
I
good.
do
She was a bit
like
infamous
that
for
one.
making it a little bit too much about herself.
Yeah, but also, she's not the only mom
Yeah.
who does that.
It wasn't the worst, but it was still like, who cares about you?
I don't need to keep seeing Donna Kelsey on commercials.
Yeah, it's very Donna Kelsey.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that it's about the Kelsey brothers, but for some reason we have to keep hearing about Donna Kelsey. That's Buda Baker's mom.
Yeah.
We watch the Arizona Cardinals and we cheer for Buda Baker's mom's kid.
Well, when we also cheer for Buda Baker's mom's kid to get tackled by DK Metcalf.
That's also true. I root for Buda Baker no matter what. Like, 'cause he's actually such a nice guy. Like, I've met him a couple times and he was very polite. He's
Yeah.
very, very sweet.
That's good.
He was one of our family friend. Oh my God, how do I even describe this? Family friend's kid's friend.
Oh.
I
Yep.
know. That's a
Yep.
mouthful. I had
Yep.
to
No, I
think
get
about
it.
that.
He was a friend of a friend of a friend.
Yeah, but I met him a couple times when we'd do things, and he was very sweet.
Nice. Always nice to hear that somebody who doesn't need to be is nice.
He would refer to my dad as Mr. Roland, and I was like, he sucks, right? But a very, very polite young man, which I say about somebody who's like 2 years my junior.
Yeah, no, we can't even think about like the age of professional athletes versus ourselves anymore. We've gone over. There are still some that are older than us that were like, ah, but for the most part, we've gone over it, and now we just have to feel bad forever.
Yeah, that happened to me first when Andrew Luck retired. Because I was like, "Bruh, you're my age and you're
Done?
retire tire re you're retiring. You're not even like injured and have to stop. You are like, I've had a good enough career." Like,
Yeah.
dude, I was in college at the same time you were. I kind of missed him a little bit, but not by much. You know what I mean? Like,
Yep.
I think I was a freshman when he was a senior. Like,
You're close enough. Yeah.
yeah, I was like, oh my God, I'm an old.
For
gonna
me,
die.
it's players that like look older, and really this is soccer players in particular because I don't really know all of their ages, but they'll bounce around clubs and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember them when they were there and they were here and they were here. And yeah, they're a bit older, and then they just like, pops up and it's like they're 24 years old. I'm like, Diego Dalot is not 24 years old. That's not real. That's not possible.
I was watching a special, like a team's interest piece the other day, on the same vein of about the Seahawks, and they're like, "Oh, the seasoned veteran Tyler Lockett." And I was like, "No, Tyler Lockett is just a little baby. What are you talking about? He's not a seasoned veteran. Like, I know he was a return specialist a few years ago, and then we made him a wide receiver, but he's still pretty fresh." And I was like, "Ah, oh, fuck."
I mean, yeah, he entered the league. He was in the league when I was at my aunt and uncle's for a Thanksgiving dinner, and that would have been 2015, 2016, 2016.
Yep, sounds about right.
2016. Yeah. Yikes.
I will say though, when I see Geno Smith, I'm like, get out of here, you old fuck! You senior citizen!
Oh.
Just because I think he, if I remember correctly, he got drafted like when I was a senior in high school,
Yeah.
so.
Yeah.
You old fuck!
Yeah. Well, you guys got anything else you want to touch on then before we start to wrap this up? About an hour in.
Michigan, legitimate. I don't know that I give a fuck about any of the NFL. Well, I don't have too much to say on the NFL other than what we've already said.
It's hilarious that the Steelers are 6-3.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happens.
Again, because the defense is very good. And Kenny Pickett has gotten better. I'm not saying he's good, but he's the level that they were hoping for at the beginning of the season. You know what I mean? Like, when you're. It's the same. The Steelers are trying to build themselves in the same way that the Seahawks are trying to build themselves, and both are kind of at the same point, I think. I think the Seahawks are a little bit better off. But you're looking for that 2012 Ravens build, where you have a very strong defense, which is the center of your focus, and then you have a serviceable offense built around a strong running back for time management and a decent game manager quarterback.
The problem is that the Steelers' defense is the wrong kind of defense for that, in my opinion. They're not a strong, like, stop everything you do defense. They're a big play defense. And if those big plays don't come off, we're screwed.
I mean, definitely predicated on TJ Watt, who became better than JJ Watt, technically speaking, today. Fun
But
fact.
on the basis of one stat, which I'll totally take.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that TJ Watt's better, but he's still great.
No, that's one of those things where you're like, oh, you can throw anything you want at me, but I saw both of them play, and I'm telling you which one is better.
I think we, this is unrelated and you can feel free. You should probably cut this. I think we should do a series of buy, sell, or don't buy, which are, and just talk about things like that, where you're like, buy, sell, don't buy. And then you just say some statement, and then everyone has to respond that they would buy that, they would sell that idea, or they just wouldn't quite buy it.
Well, this is the completely unprepared podcast, so let's just totally do it right now without planning it out at all. Kira, give us a
Okay.
statement. Let's each do one statement and then we'll close this podcast out. Kira, you want to start?
I think we should do six statements. I think we should do
Two each.
two cycles. Yeah.
I do not want to start, no.
Jay, would you like to start?
I'll start. Buy, sell, or don't buy. So,
Yep.
either you buy the statement, you sell it, or you just don't quite buy it. TJ Watt is a better defender than JJ Watt.
Yeah, I'm not buying that.
I'm not going to sell it either.
Exactly. I think it's, I agree. It's a don't buy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not
Sooner or
something
later, yeah.
you, it's not something you can necessarily sell for higher later, but it's one that in a few years you'd be like, damn, should have bought it.
And his career, he still has an opportunity to do more in his career than JJ Watt did. I don't think that we'll ever look back and say that he was a better player, but that's not always how we judge these things. Sometimes we look at it and we go, oh, but he won a Super Bowl and the other guy didn't, or something like that, right? Like we do that.
Yeah.
But in general,
Exactly.
I don't see a world in which I'm ever going to say that TJ Watt is a better football player than JJ
So
Watt.
our the catalyst of this obviously was that TJ had that big moment. So David, you want to talk on the stat that he surpassed today?
Yeah, so in 96 games, he has more sacks than his brother did in 100. That's basically it. He's averaging almost a sack a game, which is the more impressive piece of that to me. He got 88 sacks in 96 games.
He's good. He's
Yeah.
not as
Yep.
powerful, but he's a lot faster than JJ.
Yes. Yep.
Which in like it's just a different, I think, time too than when JJ was playing anyway. Like it's changed a little bit over the past couple of years since he
Yeah.
retired. And JJ
True.
kind of fell off of his career too, so
Yeah, he got
Some
so much more
injuries.
focused on fucking hurricanes and shit.
I know, how terrible. Okay, I have one.
Yep. Go. Go ahead.
Aaron Rodgers will be labeled as an elite quarterback at the beginning of next season.
Oof.
Oh, I'm gonna buy it. I'm gonna buy it, and I'm gonna buy it exclusively because I think talking heads they really want to push that narrative because it works out for them. The question of is Aaron quarterback an elite quarterback next season? I'm much more on the don't buy train, but that he will be labeled as such, I'll buy it.
I would agree.
I think you're on the same page. That was a great one to throw out there, but I think the way that you broke that down is great, and dead on.
The choice of words was
What was it? The choice of what?
important there. Sorry, I'm trying to keep it a little quiet because Danny's asleep right next to me, little angel nugget.
Gotcha.
He's so
Let's see. Okay, so buy, sell, don't buy. Jalen Warren is a better running back than Najee Harris.
Oh, okay. You know what? I'm gonna go ahead and buy it. And I realize that I might not be able to sell it for very much later, but I believe in that because I like his running ability. I like his power much more than I like Najee's decision making. I think Najee is very interesting because he's quick. But I don't know that he makes the best decisions to match that speed. Whereas
Yeah.
when you're like Warren, you just power through. You don't have to think too much.
Yeah. I'm gonna go ahead and well, I won't say don't buy. It's either don't buy or sell on this one for me, just because like I think that it's almost like apples to oranges in a way. Like obviously they're both in the same running back, but they both I feel like are two different classes of that same tier. So it's like, I mean, yes, you could qualitatively say like, or quantitatively say like one is better than the other. I also haven't really seen a whole lot of Jalen this season, but I assume
The
just on a stats level.
best comparison to it would be saying, like, Zeke is better than Tony Pollard, or Pollard is better than Zeke, right? Like they do play the same position and they play aspects of it similarly, or they can fill into similar aspects, but in general they're different types of players. And Jay and I kind of had
And
a
I mean, it's
conversation
also
about Pollard earlier, but
yeah, and it's also just like the environment that they're both in and the roles that they specifically play. But I also would only sell it just because it's like, can't predict the future on it. And it's also like Najee Harris is kind of already going downhill, it seems. So it's like,
It does feel that
that's
way.
probably not, I don't know.
I may have called him Trent Richardson 2.0 at one point this year.
For me, it's like, who would I rather have on my fantasy football team? Najee Harris. Who would I rather have on my actual football team? Warren.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
that's
That's
why I'm like,
because you're
I
not
don't
playing in a
even want
PPR league.
to. That's why I'm like, I wouldn't want to buy into it, but I'm also not going to just kind of like sit on it and just let it be like, eh. I'd be like, eh, so it's not necessarily a take you have to go from where you're on.
right.
Fair enough. All right, it's back to me, and I've got one ready. Buy, sell, don't buy. Geno Smith will be the starting quarterback for any franchise next season.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.
Any franchise, the quarterback cares so active.
I don't think that you guys will. So his contract goes through next year, and they probably have an out, I'm guessing, because if I remember correctly, when he signed it, it was a fairly team-friendly deal. But I don't think that you guys are going to do poorly enough to be in a spot where you would be drafting a back that would, re or excuse me, a quarterback that would replace him, like week one. And
No.
so I would expect you to be bringing somebody along if that was the plan. I
My
think.
reasoning is that any team, any franchise whatsoever, that also opens to CFL, XFL, everything, and with where
I'll
you
say NF, I'll say NFL.
Yeah.
I'll say NFL. Fair enough. You've got me there, but.
I mean, it's that too, you know, like there are still a lot of really young quarterbacks that are moving around a lot, and you probably don't know 100% where folks are going to end up next year because of all the 1 year deals that were also made. So it's like, you know, yeah, as far as that evaluatable talent, like he's definitely still up there and very, very eligible to be a starting QB somewhere.
I know for my perspective on, you know, being a Seahawks fan, watching him week to week, I definitely like I have no ill feelings towards Geno because in this post Russell era, he has been a godsend and he has gotten us to a high point. But the problem that I'm seeing right now is that the entire team has elevated around him, and like when that happens, the expectations get higher, right? And like especially for the past couple weeks, today he had a decent game, but in general it's like, dude, when the expectations raise, we need you to do a bit more. And I just haven't seen him make those steps to say he's going to be our guy. And you know, maybe he'll be the guy for somebody else, and maybe he'll still be ours next year. I don't know. I don't know what'll be available. I don't know, you know, what makes sense or anything like that, but he's not convinced me that, especially like compared to the defense, that he is ready to be a, because like I think the Seahawks in general are ready to go, or they're looking to be at least a deep playoff contender, and I don't think that Geno is the guy for that at the moment.
Yeah, no, I can totally see that. I mean, like he's been good enough for you guys, but good enough is not what you necessarily need.
Yeah, and that's much better than a regression,
Yep.
right? Like, we could have done
Like
so much worse, and
you could
he's
be
been
sitting here with
so
Drew
humble.
Lock.
Yeah. But,
Kier knows what that's like.
oh, I don't want to relive that. I mean, we're still going through shit, so
Yeah,
whatever.
fair.
You've got Russell.
Yeah.
He's trying his
Yeah.
best.
I'm sure he is, and his best is not great. So,
Oh,
okay. My second one is buy, sell, or don't buy. Jim Harbaugh will be an NFL coach next year.
oh.
I'm coming up with a good one.
He might be the head coach of fucking New York.
Look, if
I don't have an opinion.
God damn it, I have no idea how I feel about that. I am going to I'm gonna not buy. I'm not gonna sell, I'm just not gonna buy. Exclusively because like I think his stock drops a little because of controversy, not because I think it's a terrible thing that he did or anything like that, just because I think it's a little bit harder to hire a quarter or a coach that's got some weight around him, but that also makes it easier to fire him. But I'm gonna bet, if I had to bet, I would say that Michigan is still going to rehire him regardless of his horrendous allegations of doing the things that everybody does.
I mean, that's the thing too, is like, oh, go ahead. No, I want to hear you use first.
I'm buying he's going to the NFL, and here's why. I think that at his age, he's got like one more move back to the NFL. And I think that looking at the changing landscape of the Big Ten, he sees Washington, USC, UCLA, Oregon all coming in and goes, I can ride out this high moment with Michigan and flip it into an NFL run. And by the time that does or doesn't work out, I can always come back to college football when some of this dust has settled.
I would be so excited about Jim Harbaugh as the head coach of Las Vegas Raiders.
God. I would.
It's a personality match made in heaven.
I was thinking Jimmy Washington.
I think that both definitely, like, you can see both ends of it. I think something that is also the argument for it is, like, the stuff that he's under scrutiny for is really only under scrutiny in, like, the NCAA.
Yeah.
It's like we talked about earlier. So it's, like, it's really only a concern when it comes to college. And beyond that, too, you know, like, I think that I think a lot of it, like, the rest of the season hinges on the Ohio State game. Like, if he is able to dominate the rest, see, even if he's not on the sidelines, right? If his team is able to dominate but will still lose horrendously to Ohio State, that's going to be enough, I think, for boosters to be like, you know what? You've been here long enough. We love you. We're great. But I think they could part amicably if he found a job that he would like in the NFL.
And I think the NFL teams would take him. I think he's done a good enough job there, and he has the background from other things that he's done that they'd be like, yeah, let's give him another run.
Although I will say something, a tweet that I saw that I really, really enjoyed was from Lucy Roden this week, and she was like, I think that John and Jim should do a parent trap where John comes and coaches Michigan for a couple of weeks and Jim goes to coach the Ravens, and I was like, I would pay so much money
love
to
it.
Watch that. So,
love it.
I'm so in. Actually, I have one more after David, but go ahead.
All right, so my last one. Bo Nix will be an NFL player 4 years after graduating from college.
What qualifies as an NFL player? Like, is he a backup? Does that qualify? Or
he can be a backup, but just he'll still be in the NFL 4 years after. So I'm thinking like he's getting through his rookie contract.
I 100% buy.
Oh. I'm selling, and I think he's going to become a commentator for the revamped Big Ten Network.
sounds great, but I just absolutely buy. Like, Case Keenum is still in the goddamn league. You know what I mean? Case Keenum is still out there. You can't tell me, like, Cody Kessler is still on a goddamn team.
I just tried going like, 1 year above what the average length of a contract or of a player is, right? Like the average duration of a player is 3 years, so I said four.
Will he be starting in 4 years? I wouldn't buy on that. But will he be on a team? Absolutely.
I would honestly sell on him being starting by then, but that's really just playing the odds.
Yeah. I would bet David's left testicle that Bo Nix will be on a team.
I don't have that anymore. You've bet it too many times. It definitely got retrieved by some debt collection agency.
I'm okay with that. All right. My last one, and I think the only reason why I'm continuing on this is because I think it's a great controversial one that'll spark some fun conversation.
Excellent.
In the year of our Lord, 2024... the head coach of the New England Patriots will be Bill Belichick. Buy, don't buy, sell.
I'd buy it. I think he's gonna ride off into the sunset on that horse. Solely until like the owners of the Patriots die.
Here's fingers crossed that it's December of 2023.
I really like
the suggestions that he's going to go to the Chargers.
Oh,
I really like the idea that they're going to fire Staley and they're going to bring in Belichick, thinking that Belichick you're going to do with Herbert what you did with Brady, and you've got a roster around you, and we're going to fucking move forward, and that shit's just going to go down like a fucking train wreck. I'm inclined to buy, because I think there are enough decent opportunities for him to move on, and I think that it's
been I said he was going to be the coach of the Patriots.
Right, but I think the only way that he doesn't try to make it work is if he thinks that there's a better place for him to go. I think if he tries to make it work, if he like tries to sell Kraft on him staying, I think Kraft brings him back. But I think if he's kind of like, I see something else going on here, that Kraft's like, all right, we'll let you go and you can go do your thing and we'll start the next journey. Like, I feel like they're at a crossroads, not at a divorce, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, that's probably a good point.
So I'll buy, even if it means that I'm gonna lose another bet.
I will also buy, exclusively because I'm a firm believer in that you cannot fire a legend, and he is absolutely a legend in that franchise. It reminds me a lot of Kobe's final years with the Lakers. He was an active detriment to that team because he was not providing for them, and he was massively draining their cap space because he was Kobe goddamn Bryant. But there was absolutely no way that the Lakers were going to be like, we're going to fire Kobe Bryant.
Right.
At best, the Patriots will, behind closed doors, say, Bill, we don't want to fire you, but we need you to retire, please. Like, we're not, if you're going to force our hand, we will have to fire you, but please, just for the sake of all of us, retire.
Yeah, I think it's like an unspoken thing between them at this point. Like, hey, buddy, like, you can stay here as long as you want, but there's going to be a time, and when that time comes, you know, you're going to have to let go.
You do not fire a coach that has won the most Super Bowls ever.
Yeah.
You just can't fire that.
And this is how we will get new head coach of the New England Patriots, Mr. Jim Harbaugh.
Hell yeah.
I think that's the note that I'm going to sign off on.
Oh, excellent. So many khakis up there in Massachusetts.
Oh, God. Now just imagine Jim with the khakis and the Belichick hoodie.
I'm so there. Love it. Beautiful. All right, guys.
I just think of the gif of Jim Harbaugh getting Gatorade baths and just not breaking fucking concentration. So I'm playing both of you in fantasy football this week, and I can beat Kira if Josh Allen breaks his leg on the first play.